before you. We come before you in the name of Jesus, asking that the Holy Spirit would just continue to move in this place, in this time, Lord, and in this space. I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would come and move in every single individual in this place. That you would come and you'd speak to us and you would show us these great and mighty things which we know not. These things that maybe we're not experiencing right now. The great and mighty things of God. The great and mighty things of the kingdom of God. Lord, to come before you today with just a heart that says, it's all yours, Lord. I am all yours. I'm your man. I'm your woman. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I'm your servant. I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would take the days that we're living in, which I believe are the greatest days to be alive, right now, right here in 2020. God, because you are triumphing, you are triumphant, you are alive, you are great and mighty, you are this mighty warrior that we have sung about today. You are the one in control, your Lord, your King of Kings, your Lord of Lords. You are the Prince of Peace, and Lord, the Prince of Peace that lives within us and lives amongst us and leads us, Lord, to peace and leads us to truth and leads us to life. And Father, as you lead us to truth, you lead us to peace. And you lead us from the darkness, the pit, the junk, the chaos, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the stress. And you bring us to something so much greater. And I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we look at the great things of God this morning, that, Father, that we go from this place so encouraged, so ready to see you work, so ready to be used of you as a vessel of righteousness and glory. And that, Father God, that you would feed us and you would wash us and you'd sanctify us and you would come do the work you promised to do 2,000 years ago when you died on the cross. And even 3,000 years before that, when you said the enemy would come, that Jesus would come and crush the head of the enemy. Oh God, may there be a crushing today. May there be victory today. May there be triumph today. In whatever we're moving through, whatever we're going through, whatever we're walking in, God, I pray for the triumphant presence of God today. Through your word, wash us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You need to let go of your notes. This morning, just having read what I read out of Romans 8, just really feel just the prompting of the Holy Spirit to just step aside from our series today and move through this message that I think is one of the pinnacles of Scripture, of New Testament, this passage of Romans chapter 8. Romans 6 begins with just this stuff going on in our lives that are just hard and tough and how Jesus came. And then Romans 7 is you come to Jesus, but you're still struggling with things. You're still moving through things. And then all of a sudden, he comes to Romans chapter 8. And I just want to tell you, it is a triumphant passage of Scripture for every one of us today. I mean, we just read part of it just at the beginning of the message. It's triumphant. And on the other side of that is as I've been thinking about this particular passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8, I've been thinking about a couple of other things in light of what we're moving through today in our world, in our country, and some of the things that you're moving through that are a whole lot harder than what's going on. And I think about that because, I give thought to that a lot because we are in a world that the Bible says you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I was thinking about this thought about being in this great relationship with God as our Father. If you're in Jesus, God is your Father. Okay. Bottom line. He is your Father. And matter of fact, it's just much more than that. I mean, it's much more than that. Notice verse 14. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. He is your Father God. He is your Abba, your Dada. I don't want to mince words here. That's what he's saying in the Aramaic. He's quoting Aramaic here. The very few times that Aramaic is quoted in the scripture, he's saying Abba. Abba is the first thing a daughter says or a son says, usually. Abba, Dada, Abba. And he says this in such clear terms as, listen, he is your God. He is the Spirit, and the Spirit of God has come into your life, into your heart. And as, listen to me, and as Abba, he's removed the spirit of fear of slavery again from your life. No longer afraid of being a slave. No longer being afraid of a slave to my own fleshly yearnings. A slave to fear and to worry and to anxiety and to the power of sin. No, he said, listen, I've removed that from you, and I've removed the spirit of slavery, and now you're no longer a slave to sin or anything. You are now a son and daughter in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's who we are. And this is where we find our definition of being, because we are in Christ and he is in us. We are in God. God is in us. God in us. Christ in you, he says. We have this relationship that's so intimate. Listen to me, folks. It's so intimate that you can know him and hear him, and he can speak to your heart and bring to you whatever you need in the moment, whatever the moment is coming about in your life. He is Abba God. He is Daddy God. He is this intimate God that wants to have such a great relationship with you. And I'm just saying, folks, if you're in Jesus, you don't have a spirit of slavery that leads to fear in any way, any form, or any fashion. And listen, I know this because I have the propensity to walk in this very fear and be enslaved by this very fear. But that's not the spirit God's been giving you. That's not the spirit of God that's on you today. And I think we got to get to this place to come to say, listen, I'm not going to no longer walk in agreement with all this other stuff that I'm walking in. I'm going to walk in what God says to walk in and who he says I am in Christ Jesus our Lord. No longer slaves, sons and daughters of the living God. Now, I happen to have, growing up, a dad that demonstrated that from the very earliest memories of my life. A father who in so many ways, even as a lost man, imitated in some form or fashion the God who created him. And right now we're in hurricane season, and that doesn't mean too much here in north central Texas, but it meant a whole lot if you lived in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many storms we rode out, nestled in the presence, laying down on a floor or in a bed, in the presence of the comfort of my daddy. To know in some way as a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, that I'm safe in his arms. Now, I know that you may not have had that kind of experience growing up, but I sure did. And I know it might make it a little bit easier for me to move through trial because of that. But I just want to tell you this today. This great God is your Father, and you will always be in his hand. Nothing can snatch you out of my hand. Nothing. And I know we've been going through trial. I know we've been going through struggle. I know in this season that what's been going on all around us has caused inner turmoil. It's caused damage in relationships, in the home, and in churches, and all over the place. I know that. I understand that. But I just want to tell you, Jesus is still our Father. God is still our Father. Jesus is still our Lord. And the Holy Spirit of the living God is still at work. Amen. He is at work right now, folks. Don't miss it. Don't miss this. You know, with all these things that have been going on, of course it's affected us all in some form or fashion, in some way, some worse, some okay. But the other day, John, I was walking through the house, and one of the things that has been another concern that I know that my daughters are moving through with little children is this sex trafficking thing that's going on, and the things that are going on your screen, on their kids' screens, and how things just can pop up. Pornography can pop up. Strangers can pop up. And so we've come through this whole season of, we're going through the season of COVID, and we've gone through a season of race relations, and there's still lots of other things that are happening around us that are hard and difficult. And then we had this one, and she was talking about it, and she says, it's just getting worse and worse. And something just came out of my mouth. I don't think it was me. I think it was a confession from the Spirit of God to say, this is the most exciting time to be alive as a Christian. This is the best time to be alive in history for every one of us to walk in the triumph of God, no matter what's going on in our lives, personally or corporately. That there's no greater time to be alive. And the time, and listen to me. I believe in what God's doing in these end times. I believe that there is great revival coming, and I don't want to miss it because I'm mad about something or angry about something or fearful about something. Do you want to miss it? I don't want to miss it. But that's what fear does. That's what worry does. That's what anxiety does. That's what sin does. That's what isolation does. It moves you away. It moves you away from the people of God and the things of God. And all of a sudden, we're islands out there. And we're alone. And some of us in this world get sick because of that, not because of anything else in this life. Not because of anything else. And I just think about this relationship that I have with my Abba Father and how important it is to understand that today He is present in your life. But you know what's so great is He just doesn't stop there. Because our God is one God, but He's three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And listen, we get all of Him when we come to Jesus. I mean, we get all of it. It's just that when we walk through life and we walk through trial, that it has to somehow just be released in our lives as we grow in Christ, as we grow from an infant to a child to a young person in the faith and then to a father and mother in the faith. But that's where we're headed. We're headed to ultimate victory in Christ. But guess what? You get to experience that today. And I think about this great God who calls us sons and daughters. Keep your place right there in Romans 8 and go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We talked a little bit about this in a different context on Wednesday nights, looking at salvation. But I want you to look at verses 1, 2, and 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. Now watch this. That we would be called children of God. See what great love God has bestowed upon us. That we would be called the children of God. Listen, do you understand the depth of this, the breadth of it, the width of it? Because I think about if I didn't know that passage of Scripture, I'm waiting from something that I think is spectacular, that's wonderful. And you know, sometimes we miss it in the familiarity of going, yeah, I know that God's my Father. But He says this great love has been bestowed upon you, that He has called you sons of God. And if you look back, what we just saw at Romans chapter 8, listen, it is not a spirit of slavery that leads to fear again. It's a spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. And He says, listen, and such we are. We are the children of God, and it's not yet appeared what we shall be. You can follow along. You're all looking at me. I want you to look at your Scripture. Look at your Word, okay? Because let it come out. Let it come out of this. Let the Word wash you today. You are a child of God if indeed you are in Christ Jesus. And he says, we're called the children of God, and this reason the world doesn't know us, because it doesn't know him. Listen, if you're trying to be a friend with the world and trying to get the world to agree with you and love you and accept you, you're on a wrong track. Because they didn't know Jesus, and they don't know Jesus, and they won't know you. Because it's a different nature. It's a different race, so to speak. It's a different life. It's a different kingdom. It's a different rule. It's a different power. It's a different peace. Being a part of the King of Kings, who is our Father. For this reason, the world doesn't know us, because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as what we will be. We're not there yet, but we know that when he appears, we'll be like him, because we'll see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope, this anticipation that we're going to be like Jesus, will purify himself just as Jesus is pure. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think of the word purity, I'm thinking of something moral, and it has everything to do with morality. But I think about the purity and the innocence and the pure love and the pure joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think about the fruit of the Spirit by which we're to walk in, by the which that's supposed to be coming out of our lives, fruit like love and joy and peace, and fruit like gentleness and kindness and goodness. Those kinds of things, listen to me, that's who Jesus is. And I'm walking, if I walk by the Spirit, I don't have a spirit of slavery on me anymore. I have this spirit of adoption that I'm a child of God. And guess what? That changes everything about my day. It changes everything about my moment. It changes everything about the week. Listen, it changes everything about 2020. Everything. But you got to live in this. We have to live in this as sons and daughters of God. Do you believe that you're a son and a daughter of God today? Yeah. He's your Father. And he's right in the middle of it. And I think about the hurricanes that we've gone through, and one that we evacuated through that was really, really troublesome. And we evacuated in the middle of it, and we couldn't find shelter, and we got to a place. And we got on the third floor, right on the river road, or the river. And I don't know if you know anything about New Orleans, but the river is at sea level, and the lake is at sea level, and everything else is everything under sea level. That's why they've got levees everywhere. And they were scared to death that this storm was going to cause, and they wouldn't know this by then, but they thought Betsy was going to do what Katrina actually done. And civil service came and knocked on every door and said, you got to get out of here. And then our thought is where do you get out of? I mean, there's no hills here. There's no high ground here. But we found an apartment of a friend of my dad and my uncle's, and we settled in. I'm going to tell you this. When that hurricane came through, windows popped out of these apartments that we were in. They were popping out. And I'm going to tell you, I was 5 years old. But I want to tell you because of the presence that my dad brought and my mom brought to us, I slept the rest of the night. No fear, no worry, no anxiety. Listen to me. This is the kind of relationship this great God wants to have with you today. We may not be there yet. We're not there yet. But when we put our anticipation, our hope on him, the Bible says he will fulfill this in your life. Do you remember when Jesus was asleep in the boat and everybody else, these great fishermen who had fished this lake all their lives, thought they were drowning, and they woke him up and said, Jesus, don't you care that we're drowning? You're asleep. I thought you were at the wheel. But you're sleeping. And there's an accusatory thought. You don't care that we're perishing. You don't care that we're in this trial or this struggle. Because I know there's some of you are in a trial today that's a whole lot greater than COVID. A whole lot greater. But I'm just saying, you're a child of God. And you're a child of the living God. And you are the son and daughter of God. And you have the Spirit of God living in you to produce, listen to me, Jesus in you, so that when everything is going to hell in a handbasket, you still find rest. You still sleep. You still find rest because Jesus is in the boat and you're in the hands of God. But it's hard, isn't it, to get there? It is. I'm not saying this is something easy. This is something that can be difficult. I like to say this. It's not easy, but I'm just going to tell you, it is simple. It is simple to change your mind and change your heart about who this great God is. He is your Father, and He is your provider, and He is present, and He is your peace, and He is your righteousness, and He is your sanctification. He is everything you need right now, right here, whenever right now, right here is. Sometimes we feel a little bit bad about ourselves, even though we're not going anything, and we've not done anything, but the enemy comes along with these words. And I'm just going to say, we're sons of the living God, daughters of the living God. I think to get this today, to get the rest of this message today, and I hope I'm going where I'm supposed to be going because I did this down there while we were worshiping. But I want to just say, this is who we are. And it is such good news of what the gospel is, that I now belong to God, and I am His, and He is mine. It's what children go through when they finally kind of get used to or get to a place when you got to a place that you know, that's my dad, that's my mom, I belong to them. I love what it says about Abba Father, because I'm going to tell you, if you got that spirit on you and you're in the midst of trouble and struggle and storm and all that, and you're crying out, Abba, I'm going to just say this. A child who says, Dada, doesn't know much more than that. Is that right? When your kid said Dada or Mama or Ball, because I hear that's one of the first things that kids say, Ball. But when they said that, that's about all they knew. And you know what? That's what it means to become like children, to enter the kingdom of heaven. I may not know anything, but I know He's my Abba. And I know that He protects me and hedges me in. And I can say that at 8 when I came to Jesus. And guess what? I can say that at 61 that I'm going to be in a few weeks. I may not know anything else, but I know He's my Abba. I know He's my Father. And I can find great comfort in that presence alone, where when I'm directed that way, life just seems to pour out on us. We're sons of God, folks. We're sons of the living and daughters of the living God. And I love what he says here. He goes on and he says, we're being led by the Spirit. We've not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again. We've received this adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And then he says, and the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. And listen, if we're children, we're heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Jesus. If indeed we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him. Because listen, I'm considering the sufferings of this present time. They're not even worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed to us. Because the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of he who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the world of the children of God. Listen, this is really important. We know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth even until that. And not only this, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption, watch this, of the body. Now, I'm just going to say a couple things about this because I want to get to the meat of this thing today that we all can go out of this place applying today. I'm just going to tell you, the creation is passing away, okay? The world is passing away. Creation is passing away. There's nothing that legislation can do about that happening. Okay? Am I right? There's nothing you can do. It is fading away. Listen, your body, the Bible says, is and we'll see this in just a second, it's fading away. I know that for a fact at 60. That it fades. And there's nothing, unless God wants to choose to do something, that's going to change that. We are all going to die. Because we're fallen. And this earth is fallen. It is corrupted because of sin. And there's nothing that we can do to preserve it. And I like this because the reason why I like this is because he's saying, listen, we all are subject to this. The creation subjected to futility. But the great thing about it is that we've been saved. And we have this spirit of freedom on us now. We are now children of God, and we're waiting for the final adoption where we get the redemption of our body. This is what we hope for. This is what we're moving toward. The Spirit testifies that we're children of God. And then he says in verse 26, now watch this, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness because we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself is interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit is interceding for you, the saints, according to the will of God. God the Father, and now you've got God the Spirit at work. We're going to see the Trinity at work in this whole passage of Scripture. God as the Father is the one that created you. He is your Father, your Heavenly Father. He is God. He sits on this throne. He is Lord. He is God. And then the same way, the Spirit is helping our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit is interceding for us according to the will of God. You know, sometimes I look at that, and then I look at me and I go, God, what's my problem? I've got the living God as my Father and the Spirit of God living in me, praying for me with groanings too deep for words. But guess what? He's praying for you. Hey, I want to just say this. My hope is your pastor, first of all, for your pastor, and for all of us, is that when we're in the midst of something that is very uncomfortable, that we can say, I'm a child of God, I'm not subject to a spirit of slavery anymore, and I've got the Spirit of God who's praying for me right now, right here. Do you know what this all oozes out of? It oozes the presence of God. The presence of God is in you. And the only way that you're going to experience that is you got to change your mind to believe and declare that that is true through faith. Or you're going to miss the revival. You're going to miss the lesson. You're going to miss the new glory. You're going to miss that until a further time. And I don't know about you. I want to learn it today so I can move to the next glory. We're sons and daughters of the living God. We have a spirit that says, Abba, Father. We're not slaves to some master over there of sin. And then the Spirit of God comes into your life, and he's interceding for you right now. Listen, folks, he's interceding for every single one of you according to the will of God. He's interceding for you in your relationship with God. He's interceding for you in your relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your teenage children at that, right? Or your adult children that came back. Keep coming back. Boomerangs. Whatever stage, whatever season, whatever you're moving through, whatever you're hurting with, whatever, I can just remember that he is Lord, he's my God, he's on the throne, and he's interceding for me. To be able to say to my spouse, baby, he's interceding for us. To say that to my sons, to my daughters, to my grandchildren. He's interceding for you. He's praying for you. And I don't know about you. Outside, I don't know about you, but that's who I want praying for me, right? The Spirit of God. He's praying. Interceding for you right now to accomplish what God has always wanted to accomplish in your life. So you've got this Father God who loves you, who is present, who removes the fear from you, and you have this intimate relationship with Him, that you're depending on Him as a little baby, as if you were a little baby, even if you've been walking with Jesus for 20, 30, 40 years. And then you've got the Spirit of God living in you. And then you got God here again, working it out. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who, listen, for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to your purpose. I want to just say this. If God is your Abba, you can't help but love Abba. You can't help but love Him. You just can't. It's just part of your nature. I think about people who grew up with moms and dads that were toxic. Said abusive things to them. You know what? They still love their daddy and their mama. They still love them. Still want to walk with them. And listen to me. If God is your Heavenly Abba, your Heavenly Father, and I'm just going to say that if you're not one of these who love Him and called according to His purpose, I think you need to check yourself today, because the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, the Spirit, the children, these are the sons of God. They're led by the Spirit, and they love God. Do you love God? Do you love Him? I'm talking about love. That's why He says, if you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and your strength, your neighbors, yourself, all these other things, I mean, they just come together in phenomenal ways. And I love this passage, and so do you. You've heard me talk of this verse in the years gone by, and man, Romans 8:28, it's the refrigerator verse of all time, you know. I got it on my refrigerator. I got it quoted because I know in this life there's tribulation, but I know all things are working out together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's what I'm talking about when I say refrigerator verse. Do you have any verses on your refrigerator? Yeah, they're powerful, aren't they? They're the things that speak to you. They speak your language. Those are the things that you're hoping in, the things that you're doing. Sometimes that changes. So every time, yeah, my refrigerator verse is rise up and eat. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Rise up and eat. That's another sermon. Watch. He's causing it all to work together. Everything you're going through right now, He's at work. Listen to me. You may not feel it. You may not see it. You may have some horrible things going on in your life. But I'm telling you this, God is at work right now. He's right now at work in your life. He's right now in your troubled spirit, your troubled soul, your troubled mind. He is at work. God is at work. And what is He doing? He's working His will out. He's working His pleasure out. And then we have this gift from God to say, this is what it is. For those whom He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He called, and whom He called, He justified, and whom He justified, He glorified. And I love why He says that. Listen, it's not He might glorify you, or He calls you and He might justify you, or He might justify you and then glorify you. No, I'm telling you, he glorifies you. And I'm not talking about God winning a football game or something like that. I'm talking about the glory and the goodness and the compassion and the power and the grace of God. That's what the glory of God is. And I think about Romans 8:30 is something that is so powerful, because look, isn't that a certainty there? It's a certainty. Now listen to me. It's a certainty because you're a son and a daughter. That's why it's a certainty. You're a son and a daughter now. That's why it's a certainty. And although we have earthly fathers and earthly mothers that are imperfect and sometimes go back on their promises for whatever reason, our God never goes back on His promises. He's a promise keeper. Amen. And some of us have to be listening to these promises when you're in the middle of a fight, middle of a fuss, a middle of an inward thing going on, to remember this, that this is what Jesus promised to do. And this is what I'm believing. And we just read John when he says, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he says, listen, the way you get to that is you just fix your eyes on it. And you fix your hope on it. You anticipate it. Man, I'm feeling rotten right now, but I'm not feeling rotten right now, okay? This is just something I'm saying you might say, okay? Because inevitably, five people go out and says, I'm sorry you're feeling so bad. Don't be that person. But I might be feeling rotten right now. But I can relish in the fact that I'm a son or a daughter of God, and he's at work right now. He's working it all out to this. He wants to not only justify you, he wants to glorify you. You know, I love the verse that says that he gives his glory to none other. He's not talking about not giving his glory to people. He's talking about giving his glory to the idols of this world. Listen, he gives his glory to his people. Just as a bridegroom and a groom and a bride, and they share that glory together. They become one. And this is where we're headed. This is what God's doing. This is what he's working all out so that he's learning. He's teaching you things and how to live and how to respond and to find the peace of Jesus and to find the life of God and to find the purpose of God and the meaning of life. This is what this is all about. So that any trial and any struggle that you're going through, this is what God wants to do in your life. And you ought to be pleased, tickle pink, that I get to be like that. That's why we're saved by faith, not by sight, and not by your works. Because I know I can look at my life over the last 6 months, and I can look especially in those early days and look at my life and look at COVID and look at all that and get squeezed and say, I don't like the way I'm looking right now. Matter of fact, I abhor the way I'm looking. And the way that I'm acting and the way that I'm thinking, because it ought not be, because I'm a child of God and I have his DNA in me now. The divine nature is what he calls it, the new man. You got a new man, a new woman in you, and it's divine, folks. It's divine spark in your life. What do you think it means to have the Holy Spirit living in you? This right here. So we're sons of God. We're submitted to that. He's Abba Father. We're not slave to anything that leads us to fear again. We have this trust. We have this work. And yeah, things are happening and things are going on, but he's causing it all to work out for his good. And he tells us what this good is. And so then, and that's where we're headed. But notice verse 31. Well, then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You think you got enemies? Let me tell you what. You got Jesus, you got everything you need. You have everything you need. And I'm going to tell you, everybody else may be against you, or in your mind may be against you, but I want to tell you, if Jesus is for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. Because God's for me. Just like, listen, do you remember some of you when you put your kids in football or baseball or t-ball or soccer? And they scored first time they hit. And what did that do for you? And I just feel like that's God. Do you think God wants you to go through life with a spirit of slavery that leads to fear again? No. Not at all. And I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say it right now. Whatever you're dealing with right now, I'm not saying that you might have to continue to deal with it, but I'm saying it's time to start responding like Jesus to this stuff. Because you got that in your life and in your heart. He is causing it all to work together. There's no one against you if God's for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? No, notice what he said. And he says, who will... He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, will he not also with him freely give us all things? Here's the second person of the Trinity. We talked about God the Father. Now we talked about the Spirit of God. And now we're talking about the Son. all in this passage of Scripture. And if you got somebody in your life who says they don't get the Trinity, well, have them open this passage. Because this is the Trinity. This is God working. This is God moving. And this God is, he says, listen, if he didn't spare his own son, if he gave his first and the best and he delivered him up for us all, how is he not going to just continue to freely give us everything that we need in this life? But what I'm afraid is that we miss this. And instead of being a joyful, happy people, we become critical, grumbling, and unhappy people. And I'm just going to say this to Fritcher right here. You let whatever you want to say to you, but it ought not be, Fritcher. That thing that came out of your mouth 3 weeks ago should never, ever, ever come out of your mouth. That reaction was not godly. It was not like Jesus. It was not by the Holy Spirit of God. And you know better because, listen, you got better. You got it. You have better. I think then I look at this passage of Scripture. Do you understand why I feel so, the way I feel about this passage? It's the pinnacle. It's the pinnacle of Romans. It just is. Because it has everything to do with your nature changing in the midst of trial, in the midst of life. Who is the one, verse 34, who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God. Watch this. Who's also interceding for us. Again, I look at this passage and say, Fritcher, what's your problem? What's your struggle? I can imagine going through it for a morning, but 6 weeks? When I look at the who I am and what Jesus is to me and what he does, he's not only my Savior, he's my intercessor. He's interceding at the right hand of God for you today. Listen, that's why we love to talk about the personal relationship that we have with Jesus, that he is my personal Lord and my personal Savior. And this is what personal, how personal it gets. This is what it means. He's at the right hand interceding for you. And when I go through the trouble, why can't I just declare that he's Lord? Why can't I just see the picture that the Holy Spirit's in me, that God the Father's holding me, the Spirit of God is in me. He's interceding. He's praying for me. And then Jesus is at the right hand of God praying for you and praying for me. Listen, I just think that God is so supernatural and so all-powerful that he's not just saying, God, I pray for all them. Now let's go do something else. No, he's interceding for the Solises and the Harbins, the Parkers, the Bullions. Now, I got to name everybody. No, you can't. That's what he's doing. And he knows you. And he loves you. And he's blessing you. And yes, he allows you to go through things. But he causes you to go through them to get something better in Jesus. Folks, the great intercessor Jesus is in the throne room of God interceding for you right now. And that's where we end this morning. Here we end what I began this morning. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No. Now listen, you may go through distress and you may go through persecution. You may go through famine and not have a great wardrobe. I don't want to say you're going to go through naked. Or peril or sword. Verse 37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us, for I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, listen to me, nothing present, nor things to come. Listen, you're worrying about what things to come. They'll never separate you from the love of God. And listen to me, you may be dying today, but you're dying in Jesus. And nothing's going to separate you from that. Nothing. Death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor anything present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's all I got. That's all I got. I do want you to bow with me in prayer, though, because I still got 3 minutes. Amen, says all the pastors. I want to speak to you in these last few moments about what has gotten you so riled up, worked up. In worry, fear, anxiety, anger, any of that. What is it that's got you worked up? And what I want you to do right now is I want you, in your mind and heart, to see Abba Father. And I just believe so much in this grace and mercy of Abba Father. that's maybe all you can do right now. I'm going to tell you this, it's enough. Because he's your father. And you're his son or you're his daughter. We're his children. God is my father. Jesus is my Lord. The Holy Spirit is my leader. Holy Spirit's praying for me right now. Right? Son, daughter, Holy Spirit's praying for you. You're going through a difficult time right now. But he's praying, interceding with groanings too deep for words so you can get to the place that this great God wants you to be. What is it in your life that's got you all riled up, messed up, struggling? Would you just cry out, Abba? Would you just cry out, and would you see what we've seen this morning? That the Spirit of God is in you, praying for you, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you right now in your need, in your stuff, in your thing. And he's promised that he's going to transform you and move in you and grow in you. And you know why I believe he does that? Because the best thing we can do in life is to love him more. That's all that matters. Because I know when I'm loving him more, there's so many other things going on in my life that is so gracious and so merciful and so alive. If I'm loving him more, it means that I'm loving him most and I'm seeking him first. And oh, the benefits, the spiritual benefits of that. Eyes on Jesus. Eyes on the Father, Abba. I believe that's what he longs for. That's why he created you. For that. Folks, don't miss him. Don't miss him this week. Don't miss him today. Don't miss him. Because of stuff going on that you decide that you're going to look like something other than our great God. Father God, I thank you for the morning. I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you for how it transforms. Oh God, I pray for a church today, this local church called Cottonwood, and her friends who may be watching today or be a part, Lord, that we would be so enthralled with God and Jesus. And to say, what? Me fear? Me worry? Anxious? Me run after that thing? Because of the great treasure we have in Jesus. Lord, we just want to say we love you today. I pray, God, as we close out this morning, that the Spirit of God would continue to stir us over and over and over today. God, we need each other. Lord, the church is essential. This church is essential. The body life is essential. And I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that these promises that we've looked at, the promise of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, God, that we would be a people that are trained by it and walk in it so that we can lead others to you and to lead them in it. You are great, awesome. Thank you for this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and let's do our blessing and then love to see you if I haven't seen you. If you come here and you go out that door, don't let me chase you. Okay. All right. Okay. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. Remember, in his hands, right? In your hands, keep you. That's what I'm talking about. It's in your hand. You're in his hands. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you this great peace that comes from knowing this great God, this great Savior, this great leader, guide in our lives, the Holy Spirit. Go in this peace today. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.